Now, there's a good chance that you have a first name. I do. And there's also a good chance that there's a personal story about where that name came from. That's at the individual level. But big picture, there are trends that put some names at the top of the charts and lead others into obscurity, and in some cases, bring them back again. Our next guest has been watching those trends and studying names past and present for years now, and we're going to check in on some of the latest news in names. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a story behind your name? Did you have the same name as lots of people in your circles, or did you have a really different name that stood out? Either way, what were the ups and downs of that? Have you noticed trends in the names you're seeing these days? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Laura Wattenberg is the founder of Namerology.com, author of the Baby Name Wizard books, and the original creator of BabyNameWizard.com. Laura, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Happy to be here.
Well, you let me know earlier that we may be on the verge of a big change in the world of names. What did you mean by that?
I think we're really at a turning point for a kind of third era of American naming. Traditionally, up through the 1960s, and really going back centuries into in England, the same core of names dominated, the John and Mary and James and Elizabeth. It was a very conservative naming culture focused on fitting in. Then for the last half century or so, we've been in a style-driven age where parents are trying to be fashion forward and the sound of names has dominated. But I'm starting to see now that we're moving away from an era where an entire sound like Kristen and Christy or Aiden, Jaden, Braden, and Caden can sweep across the country. Instead, we're seeing a kind of fracturing as everyone is looking to be truly unique.
Interesting. And I know you watch for those unique names starting to emerge in the latest data. I think we're waiting a couple months now for the latest Social Security Administration data. But what are some of those unique names that really seem to stand out to you in the modern naming trends?
One of the things we're seeing now is parents being much more open to turning word names and words and places into names. We've seen that in the past with names like London or Paris, but now it might be Cairo or Everest. And in terms of words, parents of boys in particular are getting remarkably aggressive. We're seeing boys named Rage and Riot and even Chaos and Mayhem, that parents are seem to be presenting a whole different image of what it means to be a boy in America.
Do we see little trends like that pop up over time and then disappear quickly? Or is it likely that these things that are emerging are going to be here to stay?
Individual names definitely come and go. But when you see a bunch of names together moving in a direction, that usually tells you something about our society. I like to think of name trends as a kind of fossil record of culture because parents take these decisions very seriously. It really reflects how they see themselves and what they dream of for their children.
Looking at the most recent available data, we've got for boys, I think the Liam, Noah, and William in the top three, Emma, Olivia, and Ava. What leads names to kind of stick and go to the top of the charts and stay there for a while in some cases?
I think the top of the charts are a little bit of an illusion because only traditional names can ever rise to the top of the charts. If you think about it, every parent who's trying to be unique is sort of hidden statistically. So what we see is the points that we agree on. In terms of Emma and Noah and Liam, you see that the sound people agree on today is very smooth, really dominated by vowels. It's a big change from the era of Herman and Gertrude.
Now, when I was in the kid naming business with twins, we chose names that felt kind of unique, not way out there, but kind of unique. And then, of course, as our kids grew up, we kept seeing kids with the same or very similar names to it. How common is that for people like me to be like, yes, we've got these unique names that everybody else uniquely named their kids at the same time?
It really is disconcerting because our taste feels so personal and individual. And we might feel like, oh, I just happen to be the kind of person who prefers unusual names. And I just happen to think that Olivia sounds attractive. And then you look around and it turns out that your tastes really are shaped by your community and your generation. And you and your friends probably have very similar tastes.
Talking to Laura Wattenberg, founder of Namerology.com, longtime student of what we name our kids. And now we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Where did your name come from? What did your parents tell you about why they named you that? Were you happy with that decision? Did you feel stuck with it? And how about if you're questing for a name or recently named a kid yourself, where did you go for inspiration? If you're in a place where you see lots of kids, a teacher maybe, what trends are you seeing in your own classroom? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Laura, I mentioned to you earlier, my name, Rob, came from my parents watching the old Dick Van Dyke show. They like the sound of Rob. Is it common for pop culture to be a source of inspiration for names? I know you've written about Harry Potter and Game of Thrones, for example.
Oh, absolutely. Parents take names from wherever they find them. But there's a difference from the era of the Dick Van Dyke show. You know, as a Laura, I also have a name from the Petri family. But once upon a time, if parents were naming after Shirley Temple, they would say so. Oh, we chose Shirley after Shirley Temple. She's so adorable. Today, parents are less willing to say they're naming after someone. It's just that they're looking around for inspiration for any fresh ideas wherever that they can find them. And a great example of that is that one of the biggest forces in baby naming in terms of celebrity has been the TV show Teen Mom that follows pregnant, unmarried teenagers. The names from that show, like Macy and Bentley, went through the roof, even though parents weren't presumably aspiring for their children to take that kind of path. It's just where they find the names.
And is it the case that, you know, we see something in pop culture and just like the sound of it, whether, I mean, the kids in, say, a Game of Thrones, they go through some pretty rough stuff, but the name sounds cool, so that's okay.
Absolutely. A Khaleesi, which was actually a title rather than a name in Game of Thrones, was one of the biggest unlikely baby name hits. And it spawned all sorts of different spellings and spinoffs. Essentially, parents will pick up on a name if they are ready for it. It doesn't matter how famous you are. Madonna never inspired a baby name trend, but a much smaller celebrity or a smaller character who has the right name will hit parents where they're ready.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Lee is with us in Ruley. Lee, hi.
How's it going, Rob? So we have two daughters. They're both in their 20s. Our first daughter's name is Hero, like H-E-R-O, which I think it was in a William Shakespeare play, like Much to Do About Nothing. And then our youngest daughter is Hazel, and I know there's some Hazels out there, but she is 21, so I think we were ahead of the curve there.
Interesting, Lee. Thanks a lot for that. She said Hero in part from a Shakespeare character. Do we often go to Shakespeare, Laura, for our naming inspiration?
Shakespeare has been a huge influence on naming. For instance, the name Miranda is just one of many that were actually created by Shakespeare. And as for the name Hazel, that is very much on trend at very cutting edge in Wisconsin. Names like Hazel and Eleanor and Theodore, a kind of gentle throwback name, is very much a Wisconsin style today.
Thanks a lot for sharing that, Lee. Yeah, I always wonder about that, Laura. What determines when a name gets recycled or churns back up, one that for a while we think is old-fashioned, and all of a sudden it's cool again?
I think it takes a certain number of generations that our own names seem ordinary, our parents' names seem boring, our grandparents sound old, but then once you get back to about your great-grandparents' generation, we're ready to recycle those. Those names sound fresh again.
Let's go back to our callers. Rebecca is with us in Newton. Rebecca, hi.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to share my son's name. I haven't heard anyone else with this name, but it's a last name. So my son is named Killian, and I found out it's actually a really common name in Europe, and especially in Ireland,
right.
An Irish name. I didn't name him that because we're Irish or he is or anything. I just found I really loved the name when I was pregnant. My husband and I couldn't agree on anything, and I saw it on TV, and I thought, oh, I love that name.
Now, wait, where did you see the name? Where did you see the name Killian? Was it a character's first name, or was it the beer?
No, it was the first name, and I was watching a really bad reality TV show, and somebody's kid was named that.
There it is again. Rebecca, thanks a lot. A bad reality TV show, Laura, but she liked the sound of the Irish name Killian.
Absolutely. The worst TV show can have the best names. And that that sound, that Irish sound, even if we don't realize it is that, is very fashionable. America loves Irish names to the point that more Americans identify as Irish American than there are people in Ireland. It's just a style we like.
Rebecca, thanks a lot for sharing that. We're talking to Laura Wattenberg, founder of Namerology.com. Look at the latest trends in names, what drives changes over time in the names we choose for newborns. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you noticed names that rise and fall over time? Is your first name disappearing among new generations? Not seeing a lot of baby Roberts out there, I'll tell you that. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're naming names right now with baby name expert Laura Wattenberg. You can follow her work on the history of names and the latest trends at Namerology.com. It's like numerology, but put in an A instead of the U. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, the story behind your name, your quest to find a name for a kid, what decision you ended up making, where you looked for inspiration, and what you're noticing when it comes to people's names these days. Call 800-642-1234. Back to your calls with Duke in North Prairie. Duke, hi.
Hi. Yes, so my name being Duke, my dad, I'm 66 now. My dad had an uncle that was nicknamed Duke. And as at that time, people didn't really name their children strange or unusual names, but my dad had that idea. He wanted my name to stick out. And all my life, I've basically had to explain my name to people and explain that it's not a nickname. They assume that it is. And I've met very few, maybe one or two in my whole lifetime, another person whose name was Duke as well.
Interesting. Duke, thanks a lot for sharing that. Laura, a nickname from a family member turns into a name.
Absolutely. And I have good news for Duke. Back in the day, it's true, Duke was a nickname. So Duke Ellington, Duke Snyder, no, that wasn't their given name. Mm-hmm. But today, Duke is suddenly taking off as a baby name. Not only is it becoming more common, but he's going to sound very youthful for the rest of his life.
Excellent. Duke, thanks a lot for sharing that. Now, speaking of nicknames, Laura, you had a piece recently looking at, you know, shorter nicknames for boys, you know, diminutives of their full name, many of them fading, except Cal, Mac, Kit, and Wes. They're booming. What's going on with our nicknames for boys?
It's interesting. We've mostly done away with nicknames in this country. In England, for instance, cute nicknames like Billy or Ollie are really popular for boys. But in the United States, we've gone formal, unless parents can come up with a nickname that wasn't so common in previous generations, like Duke, for instance, or Ace, or a nickname like Cal that was familiar but not very common. We're looking for freshness. That means no to Mike and Dave, but yes to Cal and Wes.
Interesting. Let's go back to our callers now. Tom is with us in Madison. Tom, hi.
Hi, thanks very much. You were talking about Killian. The Killian that came to my attention is Killian Murphy from the TV show Peaky Blinders.
Sure.
Except he spells it with a C. And when my dad was growing up, I grew up with his stories, of course, and he had two really, really close friends, and the three of them were Thaddeus, Rupert, and Alphonse. And I just thought that was a wonderful combination of names.
Thaddeus, Rupert, and Alphonse. I would go see that vaudeville show, Laura. Are any of those names making a comeback, though?
That is a remarkable trio. We're seeing some interest in Thaddeus as a biblical name. But the name Rupert, interestingly, we think of it as the ultimate English name, like Rupert, Neville, Nigel. Those names are all completely out of fashion in England, but starting to take off in the United States simply because we don't have a Grandpa Rupert. So you might be seeing more in your neighborhood.
Thanks a lot for sharing that, Tom. Stephen is with us now in La Crosse. Stephen, hello.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
What story do you want to share, Stephen?
Interesting thing with my family, it's been a tradition, well, I guess since the beginning, since Frederick the Great. Anyway, my father's name is Frederick William, And my oldest brother's name is William Frederick, and his son's name is Frederick William. Anyway, the tradition is the firstborn son in our family is always named Frederick William or William Frederick, and it just kind of hops back and forth, and it's just a tradition on that side of the family, going back all the way to Frederick the Great, the King of Prussia, essentially. And it's just kind of interesting back then that those names would be really common, and now those names are less common these days. So it's just fascinating. I really like this program.
Stephen, thanks a lot for sharing that. It's interesting, flopping the first and middle names. Now, William is in now, Laura. Frederick, I'm guessing not so much?
Frederick, not so much. That's a much heavier name, whereas William is a lot smoother. And the other secret that William has going for it is the flexibility in nicknames. We aren't seeing boys called Bill anymore. They're Will or Liam. And Liam, in fact, is America's favorite name for boys.
Stephen, thanks a lot for sharing that bit of family history there. Bill joins us now in Lake Mills. Bill, hello.
Hi. Well, the Williams are kind of humorous because in my family, I am Bill. My father is Bill Sr. I'm Bill Jr. My grandfather middle name was William, and my son, we chose William or Bill to have a William the Third because it's hard to get a third. And then when I got married, my wife's name would have rhymed with my last name, so I cautioned her that she might not want to choose my name as hers because it would be like olive oil. Or Daisy Duck.
Bill, thanks a lot. Laura, I don't know if you study intergenerational trends as much. Is it as common with our last two callers to keep that same name going generation after generation within a family?
In fact, it's much less common. Although when you have a long tradition like that, parents still want to stick with it. There's a real distinction having third or fourth or fifth after a name. But the rate of juniors has absolutely plummeted from where it was in the middle of the 20th century. So in the future, we just aren't going to have as many opportunities for those thirds and fourths.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Laura Wattenberg with Namerology.com, looking at naming trends in the United States and taking more of your calls. Roseanne is with us now in Madison. Roseanne, hello.
Hi. I just had a grandniece name her two small babies London and Sloan, and I didn't want to sound like a really strange aunt asking them where they got those names from. So do you know anything about London and Sloan?
London and Sloan. So you mentioned, Laura, earlier place names. We're casting wider nets for our place names. So London might fit into that.
And Sloan is also a place name in London, but I don't know where those new babies live, but London is a particularly popular name in the southeastern United States. It used to be that the whole country named more similarly. So like in 1960, Michael and David were essentially the top two names in every state in the union. Today, there are a lot more regional differences, so names can really surprise you from place to place.
Interesting. Thanks for sharing those, Roseanne. Anissa is with us in Black Creek. Anissa, hi.
Hi. I'm an elder millennial, and I'm actually an identical twin, and I have an older sister, and their names are Allie and Megan. And being born as an Anissa has been, you know, a little bit unique back in the day where you didn't have a whole lot of people with unique names. And although I love it now because whenever I do meet someone with my name, I get very excited. It's like meeting a celebrity. naming my own children, I didn't want to do that to them. So I had names that are not like super common, but not necessarily super unique. So folks, it's not what it's all cracked up to be, to not be able to find your name on a mug or a keychain growing up.
Anissa, thanks a lot for sharing that. Yeah, Laura, I assume people in your comments section on your website talk about whether or not they were happier with their common name or their unique name. Do you see a trend in what people end up preferring?
The real trend is over the course of a person's lifetime. At the age of 12, no one likes the names their parents gave them. By the time we're in our 20s, we usually appreciate them. But when it comes to the souvenir license plates, next time you go to a tourist center and look at the racks of souvenir license plates, you'll find that a lot of them have names that are 50 or 60 years behind the times. They've stopped printing new metal license plates because names have become so diverse, it just doesn't pay.
Thanks a lot for sharing that. Time for another caller or two. Carver is with us in Winston. Carver, hello.
Hi, I was just calling. I thought my name was a little bit unique. I'm one of nine children in my family, and my brother's name is Carter, and then my other brother's name is Carlin, and then I have six sisters. But most of the time when people try and say my name, they end up just saying my oldest brother's name,
Carter,
on accident. Yeah.
Now, with all those similar names, when somebody yells, "Hey, Carver, get in here for dinner," did you always know who was being yelled at with the similarities?
My mother would run through the names, and dinner was served at a particular time, so we all just ran down the stairs or wherever we were.
Excellent, Carver. Thanks so much for sharing that. Now, Carver would fit into that active boy trend, right, Laura?
Oh, absolutely. Carver is a name on the rise. Parents love the surnames that end in ER because it really is a suggestion of a doer. Most of them come from an old-fashioned trade we might not even see anymore, like a thatcher who would make thatched roofs. But the energy behind the idea of doing that trade still sticks with the name.
Carver, thanks for that call. And Laura, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Laura Wattenberg, founder of Namerology.com and author of the Baby Name Wizard books. She joined us for a look at the latest trends in names. You can keep sharing your stories on the Ideas Network Facebook page.